السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وسمو أسمائه وصفاته وجزيل كرمه ونعمائه، وسبحانه عز وجل الذي عمر قلوب الصالحين بذكره والأنس به ونور أسرار المقربين بأنوار مشاهدته، وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين شفيعنا يوم الدين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. Be at all times in a state of tahara. Be at all times in a state of tahara. Be at all times in a state of tahara. And naturally, that which comes first to our minds and the minds of most of us is the cleanliness of our bodies, is the washing of our bodies, is the wudu, to be in a state of wudu and in a state of ghusl as well. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His hikmah intends that through that external tahara, and especially with the practice of repetition of wudu, intends that He subhanahu wa ta'ala leads us and guides us to the next level of tahara, to the inner dimension of tahara. And remember, repetition, when you repeat something, when something is intended to be repeated constantly and persistently, then there is something beyond what we only see and experience that is intended by that. And it was not left ambiguous anyways, it was explicitly exposed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We clean our clothes, and human beings have this, even jibilla, this natural tendency to be clean in clothes, to wash the clothes. Washing the outside clothes and repetition of that, and the removal of the external stain and dirt would lead us, the human beings, to go to the next step, namely to cleanse our external skin and bodies from stain and dirt. Naturally. So we feel that natural progression by this repetition of washing our clothes externally, we begin somehow to realize that we need to wash something else. And we observe the stain and we can see it on our physical bodies. Our repetition of washing the external clothes led us to be cognizant of and concerned with, and then actually doing that, namely cleaning our external body as well. Even if someone, on average, did not point that relationship to us, naturally we'd grow to discover it. Yet sometimes, for some of us, it is needed to point that relationship between the repetitive action of washing something external and the next activity or the next action of washing that which is more inward. And so it is. We are intended to perform wudu externally, to wash these limbs. And the repetition of that, even if not brought to our attention, must at one point or the other, if we are faithful, if we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the malaika and in the yawm al-akhir, we are drawn naturally to discover the next dimension intended behind that repetitive washing and cleansing and tahara of the external body. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that every time we perform wudu, that external action of washing the external dirt, if it exists, is actually literally washing inner dimensional dirt. And he taught us in what Al-Imam Muslim and others related, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that every time the abd washes a limb of the limbs of wudu, that the zunub, plural of zamb, will be washed out of that limb. So when I wash my face, the text teaches, the zunub through the eyes, through the eyesight, are washed out until the last of the dhamb will drop out and fall with the last of the drop of water. When I wash my hands, the dhunub I committed with my hands are washed out and leave my spiritual body through my fingers and the tips of my fingers. And so with my legs, and so with the rest of my body, the dhunub, subhanAllah, that one committed with his or her own jawarih, limbs and senses, are literally in its own world, washed out. I can see, when I wash physical dirt, I can see it. But that action, subhanAllah, of the dhunub being washed out, most of us do not see that. Our qulub have not risen to the level of consciousness and of purity in order to actually see the dirt and the stain of the zunub washed out through the water of tahara. And if we know that, and we must know, mustn't we? And we must now. Then, as I wash, I begin to enter that state, subhanAllah. And I don't need to go to salah, I don't have to be preparing myself for salah before I do that. Because the act itself of tahara is itself an act of ibadah, and is itself is cleansing, even without salah. Even without salah. In other words, when the abd is in tawbah, subhanAllah, and feels to wash himself or herself from dhanb, yatataharu min al-dhanb, literally one goes to the water and turns on the faucet, and you would notice, if you turn on your faucet violently, you cannot be in that state even mentally. And you're in a hurry, and it is completely inconsistent and antithetical to the, subhanAllah, to the intent of washing spiritually. You just don't succeed. You don't, your mind or your qalb does not move to the next dimension. As you are in wudu, and if the water is flowing violently, and you're washing, it is washing superficially. It does not go to the inner level, and you do not become conscious of it. And you do not go through the transfer from one state to the inner state. But if, subhanAllah, I am conscious of that, and that's why the regular diet of ilm, as we have always pointed out, is really essential. Because that regular diet keeps enforcing this in me, and then I go there and it is there. And I just notice that if I turn the faucet with too much water, in addition to the other faults that are in that, I am not in that state. I cannot be. So, as the water flows gently, my wudu conscious now of that becomes truly an inner tatheer. Becomes truly an inner tatheer. And I feel that. And I feel the humility. And I feel the humbleness, and I feel the haya, and I feel the khushu' in wudu. And I feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika around me watching, seeing the dirt which no one else sees. It's invisible to the naked eye. And I know they see that, and Allah sees that dirt. And how would I feel if someone whom I respect and revere would see me taking, washing my hands that were filled with blood or with dirt and it stank, it was stinking. How would I feel if they saw me like that? And how dirty they discover my physical body was as I wash, the malaika around me see that. And Allah sees that. Then my wudu, my tatheer, my tahara becomes indeed what it was intended to be. It enters me into the next dimension. أن أطهر جوارحي من معصية الله عز وجل من الذنوب. That I cleanse my limbs and my senses and my organs from the dhunub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will make me conscious of being in at all times in tahara. Now it means what? That at all times, ya Israr, that at all times, ya Ali, that at all times, ya Riyad, ya Mukhtar, ya Aisha, ya Zainab, ya Suzan, ya Kaza, that at all times I must be watching my jawarih, my eyes, my ears, my hands, my tongue. At all times I must be in tatheer and in tahara. If I realize, I realize that through actually washing physically, gradually, if not spontaneously, I will be entered into that state. And when I hear the word tahara, and be at all state in tahara, I do not only understand the external tahara. Immediately, this next dimension occurs to me. And if I practice that repetitively, whenever I lose my wudu, I go renew it. Even if I do not perform salah, as I do that with that consciousness, subhanAllah, the barakah of that is what? As I become effectively conscious of the tatheer of my jawarih from ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I'm always in tahara, and it does that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things to us to teach us. We speak of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our qulub. And you see, when we take trips, physical trips to distant places, the hikings and other things that we do, those trips that we take, and as we repeat them with that consciousness, will indicate to us gradually the trip of our qulub. And the more of that, with that knowledge, the more conscious we become of the trip of our qulub. And that's why he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hajj and Umrah. Hajj and Umrah are about journeying. Physical journey. And the more the better. To keep us very conscious of the journey of our qulub to him, as our physical bodies journey to his house. He called that on earth my house. And as I do that journey physically, and as I learn its inner dimension, those inner dimensions now become more and more real in my life. The journey of my qalb to the Lord of the house. As my physical body journeys to the house of the Lord. Are intended to do that. And they facilitate the intended inner dimensional aspect of those things. And then as I become more conscious in this tahara, of the tahara of my external limbs, and I become very cognizant of that, and that becomes repetitive through the tahara external, what else will be then the next tatahir and tahara, with the repetition of being conscious of the dhunub externally. And tatahir, it will take me into the inner dimension, the tatahir of my qalb. Yes, wallahi inna hadha al-haq. Then that repetition will lead me now to be alert, subhanallah, to the tathir of my qalb. From, awwalan, all vices, all ugly images, all ugly characteristics, such as greed and anger and hate and ignorance and envy and tama and hasad and haras, boastfulness and riya and arrogance, attachment to dunya and to wealth and to authority and to power, and then I become more alert of that, more conscious of tatheer al janan ba'da tatheer al bunyan. I become more conscious of tatheer of my qalb from this, and that is true. And then when I keep on doing that, and all of that began how? Subhanallah. With an external dimension. And as I continue in that tatheer of my qalb in this, at this level, what is the next? Tatheer of the qalb, or even of the sirr, as some, rahmahullah ta'ala, have pointed out, a dimension even more hidden than the qalb. But let us say and call it at this time the qalb. Then the tathir of the qalb from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how the succession occurs. The tathir of the qalb or the sir from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be at all times in a state of tahara. Now it means something else, doesn't it? But where I and you, maybe I don't know about you, inshallah, where will I begin? In this tahara. With now the consciousness of the inner tahara. And that there are worlds connected to each other. That there are dimensions connected to each other. once I reach the steady state of one, the window and the aperture and the gate into the next one opens. And once I reach the steady state of the next one, then the next one, the gate into the next one opens. As we speak, for example, about tatheer our qulub and our asrar from other than Allah Azza wa Jal, disengaging from any other attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, that's an ultimate aspiration. But it begins by doing certain things of external disengagements, from external dhunub, from external attachments. And then the other one will build up. We'll have a little bit of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until when we have reached the haqiqah, for example, of disengaging our qulub from the amrav, then that would have pushed us with its momentum into the beginning of disengaging our asrar, our qulub, from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, it doesn't come generally, most of the time spontaneously. تَطْهِيرُ الْقُلُوبِ مِمَّا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This tahara is in itself essential, as we pointed out earlier today, subhanallah, for so many things, and the foremost of which is to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our qulub. And that Allah does not offer his mushahada into the qalb of the abd, into the house that is that qalb that has images, that has idols inside of that qalb. That qalb is not mutahhar, is not cleansed. See, wudu, all of that is in wudu. That's all what's intended. But you know, one other thing, you know, sometimes some people have complained to some salihun and to some shuyukh, rahmahullah ta'ala, and fuqaha of the zahir and of the batin, that, you know, in our times one had said, and I was talking about 10 centuries ago, that there is no more wali, there is no more Muqarrab, there is no more Salih. People, most people of us say those things. Oh, this is not a time when, oh, the awliya are over. And he was talking about 10 centuries ago. And then he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, the meaning of all of that is, who are you to see a wali? Will the king offer his daughter to be seen to a filthy bypasser, to a person, imagine a person who's very dirty, very stinks, etc., smells terrible, doesn't wash properly. Will the king allow his daughter to be even glanced at by this person? He answers, never. And the awliya of Allah are the special daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ta'ala Allah anil amthali wa sifat. May Allah be exalted from analogies. That is, they are ahibba'u, they are His beloved ones. And may Allah be exalted. Ta'ala Allah an dhalika uluwan kabira. In any anthropomorphic tendency. Laysa lillahi banina wala banat. But He intended by that, these are the... Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow that beloved of his or of hers to be recognized, seen and recognized by just anyone? The qalb is very dirty. The qalb is very, very dirty. You think that qalb will be given the honor of even glancing at a wali? At a true wali min awliya illah azza wa jal. Remember the story last night with which we began? That everybody looks at, but nobody will see the wilaya in that person. Nobody was allowed to see that young black boy. And that poor servant and slave. No one. Except one person. Called Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And then, because his qalb deserved to see him actually, and to know him. You see, do you remember what he said to him? As they were going back to the house of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. What did he tell him? Not only that, what did the slave tell him about this of having known me? You have known me. You have seen me. What did he tell him?
You are a righteous man, otherwise I've lost one.
Yes. He told him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some people whom he holds very special and very dear in his mahabba, and he would not divulge them in their secret to just anyone. But two very special people, and you must be a good one. And then, of course, the young slave, the young free, decided to go. Because then, someone knew about his secret with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that he didn't want, because that is the utmost manifestation of what? Of ikhlas. Most manifestation of Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. He didn't want anybody to know. Someone knew the special relationship between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he doesn't want to live anymore. Enough. Now I want to come to you to keep my secret with you. I don't want to live anymore in a world where someone knows my relationship with you. Allah. Tawheed. Ikhlas. And sometimes we human beings struggle and battle and compete that we be known for what we do. And we compete for those who want to have like us, let alone take it from us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not divulge the secrets of his ibad to just anyone. Not only doesn't he offer the vision of his mujahada, of his mushahada, to any qalb, but he does not divulge the secret of those nearest to him to just anyone. And yes, sometimes we don't see them. We don't see them. They could be with us. We don't see them because we are obscured. We are blind. We are in ailment. My dear brothers and sisters. When one has a physical wound, and that physical wound was infected, and because it was exposed to environments that are contaminated, that wound filled up with pus, dirt. And then when one realizes that he or she is really sick, and that wound, if he doesn't cure it, if he doesn't heal it, if he doesn't take it to the doctors, that it's going to be very, very serious. He may die out of that, he may amputate the organ. Then the abd begins first by going to the doctors. And one of the first things that the doctor does, and that the patient gladly goes through, is first of all to cleanse, to begin by cleansing the wound. It has to be cleansed first and emptied from all the dirt and the pus. And then it has to be protected, kept away from being infected again. Kept away from bacteria and environments that are infecting. Then what it will do also, what the doctors rather will do, is then administer medication to strengthen and to heal the wound and to strengthen the skin. So the tatahir of our ill qulub, tathir of our ill qulub. Our qulub are mariza. Our qulub are mariza. The first process of cleansing is tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah. Tawbah is like breaking that cyst and breaking that dirt that's inside and the filth and the pus, cleaning the wound from that. Tawbah. A burst of tawbah within the qalb of the individual will break the cyst, will release the dirt, will empty the wound, will clear the wound, but the wound is not healed. Tawbah has to be there. And that's why we must renew our tawbah always. And sometimes our tawbah is not a tawbah, isn't it? Sometimes our tawbah is only at the tip of the tongue. Sometimes our tawbah is not a tawbah that is even partly a burst from our qalb, let alone a full burst in our qalb of regret and of sorrow and of pain for what we have done and for what we have missed. Our tawbah is not sometimes that. Our tawbah is simply astaghfirullah. لذلك قالت رابعة رحمه الله تعالى استغفر الله من قلة صدقي في قولي استغفر الله. I seek forgiveness from Allah for the lack of truthfulness in my saying astaghfirullah. That burst of pain, that burst of sorrow and of grief, and that burst of longing, that is tawbah. And then the tears and the eyes are sometimes indicators of that in one's retreat and solitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tawbah that is called nasuh. And I must seek it. And I must continue to battle to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that tawbah. And be in tawbah. Be in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then keep the wound, keep the wounded qalb after tawbah away from contaminants that will infect it. The presence of the qalb in environments, nafsani environments, and physical environments that have nafsani suggestions, those are the infecting environments. Those are filled with viruses that destroy the qalb, that infect the qalb. If I cleanse the wound and then I expose the wound to microbes and to bacteria and so on, then it will get infected again. So I keep away from the environments, physical environments and the nafsani environments that have an effect on my qalb, because my qalb is da'if and is mareel. And I help myself with the power of at least intellectual resolve. I help myself at least with the power of intellectual resolve, rational resolve, before even the resolve of the qalb. And part of that keeping away the harm is keeping away from the ma'asi. Keeping away from the ma'asi. Ma'asi is exposing my qalb to the microbes, to the contaminants again. And I again help myself with, again, the power of my intellectual resolve before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grace me with the internal realization in my qalb of what I know intellectually. Do you see the difference? And then I begin to administer good nourishment to that skin, to that wound, through proper medication and proper nutrition and so on. And that is the ta'at, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah, more Qur'an, more dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more sawm, more sadaqah, more sabr, more shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more khalwa, in order that the wound will be strengthened and completely healed, and the qalb will be, inshallah, gradually, completely healed. But sometimes, what happens? Go ya Mukhtar, go ya Aisha, read Quran, Udhkurillah. Fast, but I really can't. I don't have the resolve. Alhamdulillah, I want those things, but I don't feel the sweetness. I've been doing that, I don't feel any sweetness. And I lost resolve for that. Until I find that sweetness, until I find that peace back in my heart, I'm unable to do that. And what for? Does this sound familiar? But this is like someone who says, who is sick, and he says, the medication is very bitter, and I can't take this medication until I feel strong. Until I'm very healthy, until I'm very strong, then I take that medication. But when you're strong, you don't need the medication. Because you're sick, because I am sick, I need the medication. And that Qur'an, and that dhikr, and that sawm, and that khalwa, and that sadaqah, that's the medication. You take it when you feel not to take it, and I feel the boredom and the laziness, and I don't feel the sweetness, exactly because I am sick. If my qalb were healed, then it would enjoy. Those are the elements of its happiness, aren't they? Dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the qurb min Allah Azza wa Jalla. Those are the elements of its happiness. And I don't feel that way because my qalb is sick. Its perception or its irada are not functioning well. Right? My hand doesn't function well if I don't move it. It doesn't move the way it is naturally supposed to move. The haraka, the movement of my hand, doesn't move naturally the way it is supposed to do. And if it doesn't perceive and sense objects properly, of heat and of cold and of coarseness and roughness and softness, if it does not, then my hand is sick. My qalb is sick also because of those two reasons. The haraka of my qalb is not proper. And what is the haraka of my qalb? It's its irada, its will. So it doesn't love what it is supposed to love. It doesn't want what it is supposed to want. It doesn't move the way it is supposed to move. And that's why it is sick. And then touching, something cold, it doesn't feel cold. Something very hot feels cold, so I can burn my fingers and not knowing. And my qalb's perception, my qalb's sensory activity, is not functioning well. And therefore, I don't like what I should like. I don't will what I should will. I don't love what I should love. I don't fear what I should fear. I don't desire what I should desire. I don't dislike what I should dislike. That's because, and that's the qalb that is marhiz. Then I say to myself, no, as long as I don't feel the sweetness of ibadah. So, I don't feel the sweetness of ibadah mainly because of many faults, the major fault of which is because my qalb is marhiz. I need to take that medication. Particularly because I am marhiz. Until inshaAllah ta'ala, indeed, my qalb is healed, then it begins to perceive the way it should perceive and sense the way it should sense, then I will and love and want what my qalb is naturally created for. And it will perceive the nobles the way they really are, as naturally as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. So this tathir process goes by tawbah, cleansing my qalb from the contaminants first. And that is done by tawbah. Intense tawbah. The process could be gradual, actually. Begins by tatawub, and it ends up with tawbah. And tawbah has its haqiqah also, as we have pointed out earlier today. Inna li kulli shay'in haqiqah. But tawbah has also its haqiqah. It has its transitory or transient levels, and ups and downs, etc. That's tatawub. And then finally, it has its haqiqah, that is its steady state. The most the fullest expression of tawbah. And then I have to keep away my qalb from the environments that are infecting and contaminating. I must. And what we do here in this khalwa type of some khalwa, that's exactly that. To help remove the nafs from the environments that are very powerful on it, because it is a da'if nafs, and that has taken with its grasp the qalb, and the qalb is marir. And we need to do that. And then, yes, you say, and we say, but when I go back, see, that's exactly what happens. What happens when I go back? I fumble, that's what you mean. I'm weak, I can't anymore. Because the qalb is marid, and I subject my qalb to environments I should not. Sometimes because of the choice I made in life, of what type of style of life I have wanted. Ultimately, every one of us, and this is a gradual process, please do not misunderstand me, ultimately everyone has to make a choice. Ultimately, everyone has to make a choice. That's exactly what happened, because I am in an environment with a qalb that is da'if, with a qalb that is mariv, and I can't. And the only way sometimes is quarantine. Isn't it? The only way to heal a sick person sometimes is quarantine. We do that in the physical world, in the physical realm, when we care for our physical health. Exposing ourselves to those environments. My dear brothers and sisters, so we do these things to have a chance to disengage from those environments. To also, hopefully through repeating them, we begin to discover the khalwa, even if we are with people. That's the inner dimension. The ultimate khalwa is ka'inul ba'in. Remember? Al-ka'inul ba'in is now the one whose qalb has been connected to Allah, disconnected from the khalq. He or she is with the khalq physically and absent from them. Always in khalwa. The qalb will be in khalwa from the ibad, even though the body is with the ibad. But that is not guaranteed for all of us. So we need more of the khalwat. The khalwa in salah. Take time, my dear brothers and sisters, in salah. That salah be a true khalwa. Don't be in a hurry to leave salah. Don't be in a hurry in your wudu. We have just learned that's where it begins. Be in khalwa in your wudu. Be in khalwa in your salah. Stay in khalwa after your salah. Give at least ourselves the chance for at least 5 times a day of 10 minutes or 15 minutes each in khalwa with reflection, not in a hurry to go back to the other attachments that we hold so dear. If we cannot afford, and we should afford, it's a choice we made, the other khalawat. And I'm not saying uzla. There's a difference between uzla and
khalwa.
Uzla is to be completely away from any contact with human beings. That is uzla. Sometimes that uzla is called for. And the texts of the hadith of Rasulullah are very clear about that. And all of the ulama agree that in times of fitan, certain fitan, then uzla is the answer. But khalwa is not uzla. Khalwa is moments of retreat. You are living where you live, but you are in khalwa. You take time alone for reflection. You don't let the rat race of every day take hold of the reins of your life. You do not, gradually. That salah, hafizu ala salah, my dear brothers and sisters, guard salah, guard salah, guard the khalwa of salah, for it is indeed the khalwa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And gradually, gradually, inshaAllah ta'ala, until more khalawat like this and so on, until ultimately the abd, maybe even before one goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully, will be in khalwa, yet with people. With people, but not with his qalb or her qalb. And would behave with people in generosity and in kindness. يحسن معاشرة الخلق وقلبه مع الحق. Is with, deals in beautiful manners with the khalq, but his qalb is with the haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not achieved without going through the tatahir at this level. It will never be achieved without the tatahir at this level, except, of course, in exceptions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yajdhibu man yasha, and that's in majdhub. There is someone who is majdhub, like someone who is mahbub. There is someone who has hub for Allah, but is he mahbub by Allah? To reach the level of mahbubiyyah. Allahu Akbar. Some people are majdoob. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the reasons he knows, picks a abd and yajdhibuhu. Jadhabah means to pull him or her into him, to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Draws him without efforts of his or hers. Without efforts of his or hers. Come to me. My abd. That's a majdhub. But sometimes the word majdub in many cultures, Islamic cultures, is this person who is fool and lost his mind and lives in this world, but is, does salah and psalm and so on, etc. But he seems to be completely like a mad person. But isn't salah and psalm and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc.? So many times they call such people majdub. So people, some people, because some of them were true majdub, that they were drawn by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He entered them into a different world of theirs by His rahmah, without hard work on their part. Every seeker should ask, Ya Allah, اجذبني إليك جذبة لا رجوع بعدها أبدا إلى الخلق ولا إلى الدنيا. Ya Allah, pull me to You such a pull that I shall never go back anymore to the creatures and the created things and to the dunya. Let me be with You until people say He's crazy. Let me love You until people say He's mad. Let me be with You. Away from everything and everyone. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, please remember where it all began. Where did it begin? Be at all states. Be in a state of tahara at all times. Remember. Remember, inshallah. And walk. Carefully, gradually, diligently, and patiently. Walk that path. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.